Make sure how much time I have this morning. Guys, it's great to be with you. Can we quickly just stand? I just want to consecrate this time. Father, we thank you this morning that it's all about you. That Father God, we've got many ideas and plans, Father, to organize our lives. And Father, our callings, Father God, and yet this morning we realize that without you we are nothing. And we want to thank you for the cross again. Jesus, just singing these songs this morning, Father, it humbles us to know that you've given everything. And Father God, we still need to pass the test, Father, that we need to give everything. And Father God, this morning, as we give you our all, we pray that you will reveal to us, that you will show to us, Father God, what that means. We pray this morning that as we gather here together, that your presence will be the most important thing. Father, that it will not be about this sermon. And Father, it will not be even about the fellowship. It would be to experience you in this place. I pray for your mighty presence to overwhelm us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. I want to quickly just share a word with you that I've actually shared in Stellenbosch and all over as well. And, you know, it's something that I really believe God wants to want us to settle. But if you have your Bibles here or your smartphones or whatever, just follow with me because I'm going to read lots of scripture. And I trust that God is going to make a few shifts in our hearts this morning. You know, as we were preparing for the cycling trip now, I was very unfit. Last year's end, December, I started to practice for this trip that we had to do in Malawi now with the cycles. And, you know, it was one of those moments when we were there in South Africa busy training, when we were on the cycles, and Rick, one of the pastors there at Stellenbosch, just made a comment that dropped in my spirit. It's one of those moments, you know, those moments when you know God is speaking to you. It's not just words. Rick said to me, listen, it's strange how we set goals for ourselves in life. And, you know, we've got this goal now to ride 500 kilometers on a gravel road in Malawi in 5 days. And we must now practice these cycle runs so that we make sure that we are fit enough when we get to Malawi. And he said to me, listen, but if you look around us now while we're riding, it's so amazing that we are not even appreciating what God is busy doing in showing us this beautiful countryside that we are riding in. We were busy riding there in the Swartland in South Africa. It's among the wheat fields, and was still green at that time. It was so amazing to just look around me and to experience the moment for what it is. And is it not so that, you know, in life it's exactly the same, that we so often run around and we don't realize that God is busy doing some things in our hearts, in our minds right now, and we're not open to experience the moment for what it is. We're so busy again, projecting ourselves toward the future and what God is going to do and might do and, you know, awesome things to come. But we forget that God is busy doing things now. And in the midst of this season, you know, we need to appreciate what God is busy doing. And I say we as Christians many times don't see the hand of God because we don't have an expectation. I love that one banner that you have in your house or what's it, expect a miracle. And it was, for me, one of those things, again, we don't expect enough of God. Because I'm promising you, the Holy Spirit will not operate if there's not an expectation in your heart. He only operates in the expectation that we have for Him to operate. And that is one of the things that I've started to appreciate, to just see that, you know, God is not just in the tomorrow and the future, but today when we walk out of this place, there's an assignment that God wants to do today so that He opens our eyes to see it. And it's not as if God stopped working. You know, we often think that, you know, God forgot about us. You know, He forgot about our giftings and our callings. And yet, you know, when we don't spend time with Him, we are just not aware of what He is busy doing. But He's still busy doing. He's still busy operating in our lives. You know, and that's why in the morning, you know, I love to spend time with God, not because of, you know, a ritual that I need to do, but because I want to have an expectation for what God is going to do today. Because if I don't have that expectation, I might not see Him in what He's busy doing. And that's the biggest problem in Christian lives. It's that moment when you miss that car by this, but and you did not spend with God this morning time. You say, oh, that was, you know, almost an accident. You know, that was very close. I was very lucky. You were not lucky. If you spent time together with God this morning, He probably would have said to you, listen, be careful. Because something is going to happen in your life today, and it might be very difficult. You know, we had a situation with a guy there in Sirius in South Africa. I always, with the MTPs, the Ministry Training Program guys, I asked them to just get words from God for the rest of the year, in the beginning of the year, and or with the interns now. Not with the MTPs anymore, but with the interns. And so what they do, they write down in the beginning of the year, they trust God literally for 365 words for the rest of the year for God to tell them what is going to happen. So they sit for a whole day on the beach and they spend time with God and they write those visions, dreams, you know, words, whatever God gives them for every day. And then when they have that day, they in their devotional time, they ask God to reveal to them what this was. And this one guy, Christoph, he's now the pastor there for years already in Sirius. He told me that one morning, and he testified about it, God said, today I'm going to glorify myself. And, you know, that was now a word that he got months ago. And so, you know, he went to the farm and something terrible happened. One of the, or a few of the apple, what do you call it, crates, wooden crates, fell on this one guy that works for him. And the guy was dead on the spot. They got a medic that's working on the farm that's always present. And the lady came and she said, unfortunately, you know, we must get the ambulance and the, you know, even the police because this is a terrible accident. And God was just reminding him, today I want to be glorified. And because of the expectation in his heart, he said, listen, I can't settle for this, even if it's just a prayer that I'm doing. And he asked some of the guys there that was with him to just kneel down and pray with him. And that guy immediately woke from the dead. And you know what? We so often miss what God is busy doing because we're not aware and have an expectation for what He's busy doing. It's not as if God stopped working, but we stop having a realization that God is busy doing awesome stuff. And for me, this is the revelation that I want to leave with you this morning, because for Paul, it was one of those things in the ministry that he always fought for, a mandate that God has given him, that he lived and he would die for, because he knew that he could not miss what God's plan was for his life. I want to just quickly read 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12 to 18. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us, to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way with the gospel of Christ. Verse 15. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. I want to just say to you this morning, Paul at this stage of his life was in Ephesus when he wrote this letter. But I want to picture or give you the picture of what Paul was going through and why he was writing these letters to the Corinthian church. Now, as Paul was in Ephesus writing this, you know, it was important for him to that the congregation will understand what his heart was at. Now, Paul came to Corinth in a time when actually the Christians was persecuted in Jerusalem to such an extent that they fled all over the world to get to a place of safety. Now, one of these couples was Priscilla and Aquila, and they came to Corinth. They established themselves. They were tent makers. And Paul, probably walking there in the marketplace, one of the places actually, you know, that was the best ways for Paul to communicate with many people, probably walking there in the marketplace, met this couple, and he started tent making, literally, to take goat skins and put them together and make tents out of it. So this business started to grow with this couple, and he stayed with them for almost 2 years. In this time, he created this church, and he, you know, came to a place where in the house of Priscilla and Aquila, there was not enough space, so they had to move next door to Titius Justus and to go to a bigger house, and the ministry grew. But, you know, later on in Paul's ministry there in Corinth, two guys came to him, Timothy and Titus, and they probably brought some income for Paul because he was at this stage still tent making. And then the ministry started to explode in Corinth, but also the opposition. And there was a lot of difficulty that he went through and that he was you know, experiencing. And he mentions this in his letters. Now, as he was here in Ephesus now, already gone from Corinth, he came to a place where he realized that the church is suffering. This church that he started, that he birthed, because Priscilla and Aquila was not there anymore. They went with him from Jerusalem all the way to, or from Corinth to Jerusalem, and there, from there to Ephesus. And at this time, he was writing these letters because he wanted to make sure that they stay on the same track. Now, the first thing that he said to them in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, he said, "Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding." So the first thing that he wanted to settle with them is, listen, I don't want you to strive. I don't want you to be in competition with one another because that is senseless. It doesn't make sense. How can you compare yourself with somebody else in your growth and not realize that I have a plan? Jesus has a plan for your life. Are you with me this morning? We so often grow as far as our pastor and the leaders in our church and so many people in the church because we are measuring ourselves according to their spiritual growth. Are you with me? And Paul is saying this is actually so fruitless because God has an assignment for your life and God is expecting you to be so serious about this that you can take it to a place where you can actually become the person that God wanted you to become from the beginning. And so Paul had to settle this and he even did it in Philippians 2 verse 19 to 22. He said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own." So Paul is saying that, you know, if I send anyone to you, I can only send basically one guy. Because this one guy I know has something in his heart and his life that I can duplicate. That I can send to and I know that it's going to be true for you guys. And that is Timothy. This man has the heart of God. But I can send him because of one thing, because he does not have his own agenda. You know, he's not seeking his own and his own agenda. He's seeking that of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Now, I'm creating the picture for you here this morning, because Paul had three things that was opposing him within this letter that he was writing to the Corinth church. The one was that the church of Corinth was divided among themselves. So Paul said to them, you're a divisive community, you've got opposing factions, and he mentioned that in 1 Corinthians 1 to 10, and even up to 1 Corinthians 4 verse 21. And Paul even had to fight for his authority among them to make let them make sure that he actually is leading this congregation. And then the second thing that was scary about the opposition that they had in the church was the fact that they thought that they were very spiritual. And Paul had to fight with them and saying, listen, you've got the wrong values. Because first of all, I must be honest with you that if I look at your lives, I don't see the conduct and ethics in your lives that is necessary for a Christian. And in 1 Corinthians, the whole of 1 Corinthians is basically sorting them out and saying, listen, I don't see godly character. I see that you guys are so super spiritual about everything, and even the baptism and, you know, the infilling of the Holy Spirit becomes such an issue in your lives that you forget that that is not what makes you to come closer to God. You need to build your character, because if your character does not sustain even the anointing upon your life, you're not going to get anywhere. So Paul is speaking in a lot of cases. He says to them, listen, guys, you think you're very spiritual, but I have a problem. In 1 Corinthians 12, we know so well about the gifts and the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the amazing stuff that we can. And we as charismatics so many times focus so much on these things that we forget that God wants godly character as well. That there's an expectation for God to say, listen, you're going through hardship, through testing, so that your character can grow, so that you can become better people in the societies that you're living in. But you know what? What I see over and over in the societies that we are living, because you must remember, this Corinth church is so much like the church today. This was a very wealthy city. It was a city of trade. It was a city that had everything that they were supposed to have. Not like Macedonia and the other places that Paul went to. This was a city that was vibrant, and yet they didn't understand that it was not about the physical. And Paul had to address it so many times and saying, listen, it's as if you guys find opposition that there's something wrong here. Because surely you don't have the character that I want to see in you. And I can promise you that in the days that we are living, God is going to really bring us through a lot of testing and trials so that we can overcome. And I want to say to you this morning, you know, testing and trial is not to make your character stronger. Are you with me this morning? Testing and trial does not make your character stronger. It only exposes your character. It only shows where you don't have character. It only shows where you still need to grow. But the decision to grow and the decision to make changes in your life and the decision to become a more, you know, a stronger person in character, that is a decision that you and I have to make and say, listen, God, even through these difficult trials and this difficult thing, these difficult things that I'm going through, God, I realize that there's things wrong in my life. But you know what happens with us as Christians? We so often get onto the plug and saying, oh, okay, you know, it's somebody else's fault again. It's my circumstances. You know, there's always a reason why things are not happening in our lives. I'm including myself. Now, I remember going through a difficult season in Stellenbosch and in top leadership. I remember one of the guys standing up in one of the AGMs, and he said to the other people, he said, listen, I just want to say to you, you know, Fred and Lucille is not going through a difficult season. All of us are. Because all of us must pass the test. It just looks differently for everyone. But you must still go through the test. And this test can either throw you off God's plan, or you can pass the test and you can just grow from strength to strength. Are you with me? And guys, I want to tell you, I see too many Christians that just running around and scattered all over the place, and they don't understand that God is just actually saying to them, listen, there's a few things that I want to establish in your life. Are you willing to work at it? You know, because it's not in a war that you can change your skills or your weapons. When you're in a war and the war is busy happening, you've got a problem. Because if there's a skill that's lacking, you can only wait until after the war, and then you can redevelop those skills and work at it and get, you know, not just a pistol but a bazooka to sort out that tank. Are you with me? But I see too many Christians running around like headless chickens when the testing comes, and I'm telling you, the times that we're going in is just going to get worse. The church is under attack. The church is going through a lot of difficulty, and I'm talking about the church universally. And I see many Christians running like headless chickens, and they don't understand it's just time to keep down your head and focus on what God is saying. Just focus, 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 focus. And Paul said, listen guys, I'm serious about the sphere of influence that I have over you guys. And I'm so serious about the sphere of influence that I have within the Corinth church. In this area, this geographical area, because I did not plan this and make it as if it's a good idea. It was a God idea that I'm serious about, and I'll see it coming through. Are you with me this morning? I see so many Christians these days that can so easily just walk away from their mandate, from their God's plan for their lives, and they just say, oh no, you know, I don't see an open door. I don't see... It doesn't work like that. You stick to what God has in store and what God is busy doing, and you focus. Because getting to the place where you can be in God's perfect will takes a lot of effort. But guys, the reward is so amazing. The place where you and I readapt our lives to say, God, please, stretch me. Just make me your vessel of honor. Because I want to glorify your name. I'm not even interested in my name and the wonderful testimony that I have and that so many people talk about. And God, you can even discredit me, but as long as you be glorified, as long as I can say that even when the fruit, the trees does not blossom, yet God, you are still faithful. You still come through for me. You're still in the midst of your people. And that's why Paul is saying that, guys, I think you're puffed up and arrogant. I think you're missing the point. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6 and even verse 18, chapter 5 verse 2, I'm talking about the letters now. And then the third thing about the opposing factions that Paul was experiencing was then the people that came from the outside, infiltrators. And he said, listen, I want you guys to sort these guys out because they are like leaven in your ranks. And they are making life difficult for you. But it's your choice. And he even said, listen, the Hellenic Jewish mindset and the Greco-Roman mindset, the culture of the time, I don't want you to bring those things into the church. I want you to focus on what's most important. Christ in you. Christ-likeness. A place where you can be like Timothy, knowing that you've got only one agenda, and that is the mind of Christ. Nothing else. And then Paul says, listen to this part, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 17. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Paul was speaking about this mandate. Now, there was actually three letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Now, we know about 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, which was two letters. But in 1 Corinthians, he actually mentions the previous letter. Now, we don't know, was that included in 1 Corinthians or was it another letter that never got into the Bible? We don't know. But I want to just quickly mention the second and the third one, because the second letter that Paul focused on was a lot about sorting out issues in the church. And 1 Corinthians is a lot about those issues. Okay, and I can maybe mention them. They call it the painful letter. Timothy actually took it to the church while Paul was in Ephesus. And Paul was actually so concerned about them that he later on visited the Corinth church to sort some of them even out. And I can maybe just mention some of them. Abuses of the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 11:17 to 34. Immorality, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 5. Public litigation among members, 1 Corinthians 6 to 1 to 8. Uncertainties about place of marriage, 1 Corinthians 7. Eating food offered to idols, 1 Corinthians 8. I'm just mentioning them so that you can see that I'm not lying. Infatuation of charismatic gifts above the principle of mutual love, 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. And the view on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. So the whole of the 1 Corinthians church, letter was on these issues. And Paul addressed them, and then came the next one, which was not the painful letter, but the severe letter, the third letter. Now this severe letter, Paul was furious. And you'll see that the whole of 2 Corinthians, Paul is actually taking back his mandate. He's saying, listen, I've gone through a lot of hardship for you guys. And if you don't understand the heart of Paul, you would think that he was actually very arrogant in putting his resume on the table and saying, listen, did I not lead you? Have I not done a lot of things in your midst? Have I not gone through a lot of hardship to be an apostle, to be called an apostle, to be God's anointed? And yet then, he says, listen, I'm sending... At this stage, he sent Titus because he felt that Timothy was not the right guy. Now, we know of Timothy that he was quite a timid guy because of two things that Paul mentioned. Paul said, don't let them despise your youth, Timothy. And he also said, don't have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Don't have a spirit of timidity. So we know that Paul, Timothy was not always a very fearful character, but Titus was. Titus was one of those guys that if he brings a letter, you know that you're going to be sorted out. So Titus took this letter to the church in Corinth. Paul is now in Ephesus and he's moving even to Troas and after Troas to Macedonia. I think I've had a map there that... Can we quickly just, I just want to show you because it gives you a lot of context. Now, Jerusalem is there, and just above that, Antioch, where Paul went to. And then after Antioch, he went to Ephesus, and from Ephesus to Troas, which is a little bit more to the north, and then Macedonia to the top. That's now after the Corinth missionary journey. So, Paul was now at this stage at Ephesus, and he was writing the letter to the Corinth church. Now, in the meanwhile, in this letter, Paul is actually addressing the ringleader that is coming against him, and he's sorting him out in a big way. But now, listen to the heart of this man. Because while Paul is in Ephesus, I can see that he's stressing now, did they receive the letter in such a way that they would experience it as love? Did they experience this letter in such a way that they will actually change their hearts and minds toward what Christ is doing? And Paul is asking the whole time in his letters, and I will mention a few scriptures to you. He's asking, where is Titus and does Titus have any report for us? So Paul was not just sending the severe letter. He was actually praying and trusting and in love, like a father to this church, saying, listen, I cannot actually afford to lose these guys, but I must sort them out now so that they can come back to the promises of that God has for their lives. Listen to the heart of this man. But now, Paul is speaking in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 13 about it, that he's asking of Titus. And then, he left to Macedonia. Now, everywhere that Paul went, and I just maybe must mention this, everywhere where he went, he was actually also collecting money not just for the ministry that he was doing, but for the poor and the orphans in Jerusalem, and the widows. So as he was going from church to church, this was part of his measurement. If they are really willing to lay down their lives and to even financially contribute to the cause of Christ. And now, as he was asking of Titus, we can see the end of the story. I'm on the edge. I'm going to end off, Yaku. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5 to 16. For even when I came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Listen to this. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice still more. For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did not regret it, for I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas godly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in this matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore, we are comforted. And besides our own comfort, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For whatever boast I made to him about you, I was not put to shame. But just as everything we said to you was true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved to be true. And his affection for you is even greater as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. Are you with me this morning? Guys, are you with me this morning? I need you to grasp this one. There's a place of humility that Paul is asking the church to move into. A place of maturity in which he says, listen, I know I was hot. I know that I was fierce. But guys, I want to know you to know that in you humbling yourselves and following the course of Christ and to readjust yourselves to get back to the place where you are nothing and God is everything. So blessed. And then the last bit, and Yaku, I'm really ending off this one. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 18 says, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. There's a place that God brings you and I to when he reveals his plan and purpose to us and he releases us to do the will of the Father. But it's a place of faithfulness. It's a place where God says, listen, first come to that humble acceptance that you are nothing. That you're only part of what I'm doing. Listen to this. I was so astonished again when I read this scripture. 1 Samuel 7:13 to 14. So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites because of one man. Because in the time of Samuel the prophet, God was with his people. Because Samuel had a focus on the agenda of God. And because of that, Israel experienced the blessing of God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10 to 12. Listen, this is Paul's answer. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, He is strong. For when I am weak, He is strong. Guys, let's just quickly stand as we end off this morning. We're going to pray for one another, and I want to trust that even as we leave for the other church service, that you guys are going to pray for one another to come back to the place where you can say, God, I want to actually just lay down my life. And God, I want to be serious about the mandate that you've given. I'm not walking away from it. I'm not going to fool around with it. You know, for Paul it was, I, Paul, physical being here on earth, received a mandate from God. I'm not going to walk away from it. Doesn't matter where I am. Doesn't matter what affliction I get against me. Doesn't matter how circumstances change. But I, Paul, I'm serious to do what Christ has called me to. Let's just bow our heads. Father, this morning we stand before you and we say, God, even though we think sometimes that your kingdom is going to fall apart because of us, yet you are more awesome than anything that we can ever offer for your kingdom. But Father God, we don't want to walk away from the responsibility and the mandate that you've given us to see your kingdom come. Oh God, we ask that this morning you will come and birth in our spirits your will to be done. As we pray for one another, Father, that you will come and bring us to the full place of surrender to you, so that your will can not just come into our lives, but Father God, in the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I ask that we quickly just turn to one another and just make that commitment to God. God, I'm not going to walk away.